I want to carry on the subject of praise. I started this a few weeks back, and others have been ministering in between, so the title was To See the Glory of the Lord.
Amen.
And to see the glory of the Lord, we need to begin to praise Him. If you don't praise God, you're not going to see the glory of God. And in praising Him, we also need to learn to know how to worship Him.
Yeah.
So many people, as I said earlier, sing songs that make them feel happy.
Yeah.
So many people sing songs that is all about themselves.
Yeah.
But you sing some of the old hymns. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And you know, those songs of glory and majesty unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you know, when you sing those songs, you find, I don't know about you, but I find that the hairs on the back of my neck stand up.
Yeah.
Do you know why? For me, it is the quickening of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the Word of God says it is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And so when you begin to sing those songs, you begin to declare the majesty, the awesomeness, and the power and the might of God.
Yeah.
And you forget about your circumstances. You forget about your troubles.
Yeah.
You forget about your pains.
Yeah.
And you forget about all the little things that niggle at your life.
Yeah.
And you focus on Him.
Yeah. Who
is far above all things, far above all principalities and powers. He's greater than every situation and every circumstance.
Amen.
That is going on right now. God is greater than that.
Amen.
And you begin to focus on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords,
yeah,
the Creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. And you focus on Him and you begin to realize how small your problem is to God. Wow. You begin to realize that, oh, I didn't see you there, Dan. Praise God. You begin to realize what God is and who He is and what He's doing in our lives.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? That we focus on Him.
Yeah.
Not on our difficulties. The Bible tells us in everything, give thanks.
Yeah.
So when you've got a problem, what do? Whine and moan and complain. That's today what happens. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says when you've got a problem, give thanks. Why? Because it is a direct opportunity for God to do a miracle. To change something around that is totally wrong. To turn around the things that aren't going for you, to let God do it. But you see, God will only do it when you focus on Him. If you're going to focus on the problem, think, how can I fix this? How can I sort this out? What can I do to fix this? You can't. The only thing that you can do that works, that I know works, is you focus on God. And when you focus on God and you begin to praise Him because He's got all the answers.
Yeah.
He's got every answer to every problem that there is. You just focus on Him.
Yeah.
And you just let Him do it. It's like, wow. And when He does it, you're surprised. Aren't you? You're excited. Well, so you should be. But He's doing it because He loves you.
Yeah.
He's doing it because you're worshipping Him. Can you take that bit of that ring off? Just give me a bit of bass, please. Thanks. And so we want to see the glory of God. And the problem today in church life, we're not seeing the glory of God. We're just seeing ourselves.
Yeah.
We're seeing somebody up at the front. And the Bible says that we are to enter into His house and we are to bring the anointing oil. Each one of you is a vessel. Each one of you is a vessel. And you're to bring your anointing oil in that vessel. And you're to bring it into the house of the Lord. You're to bring it to fill the candlestick so that there might be light in the house of God. There are a lot of churches where there's no light. Oh yeah, there are electric lights. But we need to bring the oil so that there is light. What do I mean when I say light? I mean that there is light in the Word as the Word is being ministered. There is revelation that you will catch. I will catch a revelation of what God is saying to me. You can read this Bible as much as you want, as many times as you want. And guess what? If you don't get a revelation, it means absolutely nothing. It's a book. There are scholars who've read this book many times and turn around and say, there is no God. There are fools who've read some of this word who turn around and says, I met God. And God met me. And God saved me. And gave me eternal life. I'm not saying you're fools, but I'm using the two extremes. And God takes the foolish thing of this world to confound the wise. Now, if I'm going to be, I can be, if God says I'm foolish, that's fine, because maybe He'll use me to confound the wise. And I thank God for that. I just want to hear God's voice. I want to see God's face. I want to touch the throne room of God. I want to feel and sense a presence of God. I don't want to just be acting out church. I want to be being the church. I want to see the power and the presence of God manifest in His people. That's what God, I believe, wants for us. And so I want us to see the power and the glory of God. We talked a few weeks ago about how Moses went and gathered at the tabernacle, at the tent of meetings, as it was called, and it says, and the glory of God came down. The glory of God came down. And when Moses came away from that meeting with God, his face shone. There was something about him that was different from when he first went in. And the people said, Moses, cover your face, veil it. Because the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, is shining on you. People, that's what the church needs to be like. That's what the world outside is looking for. They're looking for signs. They're looking for wonders. They're looking for some answers. Most churches are singing about me, my, and my problem. Help me, God. Instead of saying, thank you, God, that no matter what comes against me, no matter what stands before me, no matter what seeks to destroy me, you have all the answers.
Amen.
No matter, Lord, if there's a fiery furnace, Lord, you'll take me through and you'll burn off every bondage. No matter, Lord, if there's an altar on which you're going to sacrifice me, Lord, you will provide a sacrifice. Always. God will always provide. But our focus has to be first on Him, not on ourselves, not on our situation. We worship Him. And as we worship Him and we focus on Him and we praise Him for all that He is going to do for us and all He's ever done for us, then we'll see answers to all that we need. Glory to God. I put a heading on my notes. I'm just refreshing a little bit. Praise is not the end, but praise is just the beginning. You know, the Bible says, enter into His courts with praise. It's the beginning.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says. Enter into His courts with praise, with thanksgiving in your heart. And when you do that, God says, right, now we're ready. Shall we get started? Most folk enter in, and I'm not saying this about this church, but I'm the general picture today. Most people come in with their problems. It has been known for us to empty the church and go outside and leave all our problems outside. It has been known for me to send everybody out during praise and worship. We are not praise and worshiping God, we are just singing songs. You remember, don't you? I said, everybody out. Take your problems outside and leave them there. You don't bring your problems in. Because you're letting the devil drag you down all the time. He comes in and he's causing you to focus on things of earth rather than things of heaven. He's causing you to focus on the things around you rather than to cause you to focus on the things of God. God wants you to see the invisible. It's only invisible to our natural eye, but God wants you to see through the eye of your spirit. He wants to open your eyes to see Jesus. Open your eyes to see Jesus. As the prophet said to God, he said, God, open my servant's eyes that he might see the mighty armies that are surrounding us. The mighty army of God, the angelic beings. You have got eyes to be opened.
Yeah.
Spiritual eyes to be opened. And it starts with praise. It starts with praise. That's just the beginning. And so we start to praise Him and we magnify Him. We, you know, there are verses of Scripture we read out. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Amen.
Can you shout?
Yes.
You know, the shout for bags of wind being kicked from one end of a green pitch to the other. You know? And when we were in church some months back, and it was in Doncaster, and somebody mentioned about a football team, and you heard this woo, and then somebody mentioned the Doncaster football team, and yeah, and then he mentioned Jesus. You remember? Hardly a sound was made. So, yeah, I wasn't going to mention the meeting ground. Hardly a sound was made. What do we worship? What do we worship? This is it, isn't it? What do we worship? Some people worship money. Some people worship cars. You know, one time I used to want a Ferrari. A few months back now, we went and had a day, didn't we? Or half a day, and we drove Ferrari and Aston Martin and what have you. And when I got out of the Ferrari, I had a grin from ear right round to the back of ear, I think, can't I? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it touched the sensual part of my life, you know, it's like, yes, I mean, fantastic, right? Oh, absolutely. But the cost of running one cost them £3,000 to change the gearbox on it the other week, and I went, forget it. I'll just borrow one now and again on an afternoon out, you know, and just come back with a grin from here to here. But I just want to worship God. I just want to praise God. You know, if somebody's football team ain't doing well, we're not doing well. I don't know what we're going to do. You know, we're struggling. We're at bottom at league. So what? I'm at top at league no matter what's happening. Because God is on the throne.
Amen.
Jesus is still alive.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's the victory one. He's the one who sets the captives free. He's the one that heals and delivers and sets us free. He's the one who's come to give us life and life more abundantly. He's the one who's come to give you peace in turmoil. He's the one who's come to give you peace in distress. He's the one that's come to give you joy in sadness. That's who we worship. That's who we serve. That's the God who's really in our lives. And we should begin to shout and praise God. You won't scare me today, honest. I promise you, if you shout. Because God is on the throne.
Amen.
He's alive. Jesus is alive today. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. Our praise, we said, was also an instrument of harvest. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And it's a sacrifice that we bring. It can be, you know, when you're feeling down. And if you listen to the news and everything that's going on, you're in recession. Heaven's not broke. The bank of heaven is not having a moment. Okay? It has not stretched itself beyond its means. In fact, the bank of heaven has hardly been touched yet. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. You know, God says, it's your fault. You haven't got what you need for the circumstance today. You're to blame, not God. These are simple things. I'm a simple preacher. Simple truths. But I want you to catch a revelation of what this really means for you. You. See, God is interested about you as an individual. You're not a number. You know, I go to places and they say to me, what's your national insurance number? It's like, I don't know, and to be quite honest, I don't care. Because I don't look at me as a number. I'm an individual. There ain't another one like me. Never mind, thank God for that. I heard that. I know what you think. No, didn't all refrain, let me tell you. It went across the forehead, some of them. Thank God there ain't another one like him. You know, I had enough trouble with him last time, you know. That's okay.
Yeah,
I'm unique, yeah. Thank God there ain't another one like me. Two of me and think how much trouble there would be. Huh? Glory to God. Can you imagine? You turn around one way and then turn around the other way and there's another one. Oh God, you know, I mean, there is no escape. That's what the young people used to think like in church all those years ago. They used to turn around and there he was, and turn around again and still was there. How he did it, they didn't know, neither did I, but just listening to God. And so we need to just praise him and worship him. Praise is an instrument of celebration, we said. Psalm 81 and verse 9 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. This is how you talk. This is how you declare the victory of God. This is how you speak it out. You've got to use your mouth. You can't just sit there and think it. It doesn't work. Most of the time, when you see somebody moping, being sad, depressed, guess what they're doing? Their mind is in control. Hello? Is that not true? When you are feeling down and depressed, and every one of you's had it at some stage, what is speaking to you? Your mind is constantly telling you things. And you're feeling down, depressed, and you're listening to your mind. The Word of God says, pull down the stronghold. The Word of God tells you to deal with the principalities and powers that rule in the high places. This is the high place, your mind. And so the way of bringing down the principality and powers that seek to bring you down is to begin from your spirit, to begin to sing the praises of God. And the praises of God arise, and the Word of God washes you and cleanses your mind and begins to set you free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Begin to rejoice. Let him know. Don't let the devil beat you. Start to sing. Start to worship God. Start to help. Just hum a song and begin to praise God. And you get the victory. Time after time after time. The devil cannot stand in the presence of the praise and worship of God. He wanted the praise for himself. That's what his downfall was as he started off right at the beginning. I will exalt. And God said, no, you won't. You're out. And when we put God first, guess what? We're in. We're in. And God's there with us all the time. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You know, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. You think, well, how's that happen? I don't know some of these mysteries. But you see, heaven is a mystery. That's why the intellects can't, you know, sort it all out. We went to Jonathan's graduation on Friday, and there was all these intellectuals, and some of them were full of themselves. One of the speeches was, I'm proud of this and I'm proud of that and I'm proud of this and I'm proud of that. And I thought, by God, there's some pride in this place. Need to read the Word of God, and it says, you know, pride comes before a fall. I thought, the way this lot's going, if they're not careful, they're going to come down. I understand what he was trying to say, but it was always, I'm proud, I'm proud, I'm proud, I'm proud. And I thought, well, and I've got to say it myself. I'm proud of my nephew in his achievements. But at the same time, I give glory to God because we prayed him through. We prayed him through. And I know that if you do your work, God will do his work. So I can be even more proud of Jesus.
Amen.
See, there's levels, you know, there's where you can use pride. And I'm just proud that God has allowed us into his presence today. That he's called us in. And he's called us, each and every one of us, by name.
Amen.
Have you got a name? He knows your name. I got a message I can preach on, and it's not the name you've got that now that you use. He knows you by another name. He's given you a new name. And it's written on a white stone. Glory to God. Do you want a drink? Oh, you're okay. Praise God. It's me that should be having it. Hallelujah. And then we went to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 5. And a voice came out from the throne saying, praise our God,
amen,
all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great.
Yeah.
We can praise God. We can magnify his name. We can bless his name together. And I'm just about getting on to where I need to start from, I think. Yeah? So, praise God. So, well, you folk haven't been in before, you haven't heard it, so now you know, you've got the full colour of it now, you see. And this is where we're going. This is what we're going to carry on and do. And we are worshipping and praising God. One final scripture that I was using was Revelation chapter 4. And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and I beheld a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. There's this bow of green around the throne in the shape of what we know as a rainbow. There's this around the throne, this green. Green speaks of fruitfulness, of plentiful. This is the throne of God. This is where we receive the blessings. We receive our provisions from the throne of God. And the throne of God is encompassed about in a green rainbow, like an emerald green. Green means plentiful. You know, when the trees have leaves on them, everything's blooming. The blossom's due to come. It's all about life.
Amen.
Isn't it? And God's throne room is full of life.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly."
Yes.
God's come to give you an abundance.
Amen.
Not a shortage.
No.
And He's not charging interest.
No.
He's giving it free.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we can praise Him. And we read that scripture. And verse 8 it says, "And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings and full of eyes around, all around and within, and day and night they did not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come.'" One of my favourite songs as a young teenager in school was, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." When we used to sing that and the organ used to burst out, you know. I used to think, I used to begin to picture in my mind. I've got a vivid imagination, you'll have to forgive me, but that's me. I have a vivid imagination. And I began to see, you could see the presence and the glory of God. I wasn't a Christian then. But I wanted to see Jesus. I wanted to see Jesus. I even had a school teacher who knew Jesus, but you know, he never introduced me to Jesus. It was later. He seemed to tell everybody else, but the message never got to me. Don't worry, God has His plan, God has His time. And Jesus found me. And that's wonderful as far as I'm concerned. Praise is an instrument of warfare. Glory to God. You know, when your back's against the wall, when you begin to praise God, the enemy has to back off.
Yeah.
You begin to sharpen your sword of praise and worship, and it begins to drive back the enemy. When you praise God using the Word of God, you're launching missiles against the enemy.
Amen.
You're launching Exocet missiles against the devil.
Yeah.
Spiritual missiles. And you are driving him back from what belongs to you. See, God has given to you land. God has given to you your own body. God has given to you things, and the devil seeks to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the Word of God says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why is he coming at you? Because you've got something that he wants. And the other thing worse than that is, God's got something He wants. And guess what God's got? God's got you. God's got me. And the devil's not happy with that. He wants you. He wants to destroy your life. But God says, no. They're mine. They are touched by the precious blood of Jesus. They're anointed by the precious blood of Jesus. What does singing do for us? Well, let's move to one of my favourite, again, one of my favourite scriptures. I've got quite a few favourite scriptures, really. But 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and verse 21. We'll start at verse 20. This is about a king who is outnumbered by an enemy army. Totally outnumbered. And you know when that happens, when you feel outnumbered, when you feel you're pressed into a corner, when you feel you're being pushed back, and you feel that there's no hope, your head drops, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Your shoulders drop, you get discouraged, and then if you're not careful, you're going to get depressed.
Yeah.
And when you get depressed, then today what we do is we go to the doctor. And he'll give you some pills. He'll give you these pills to lift you up. And then when you stop taking them, you're even more depressed. This cycle gets deeper. I remember many years ago, he gave me some pills. And after a couple of days, I realised that these pills were no good. So I gave them to the toilet, and the toilet was happy. I went and flushed them down. And decided that God had got to do something, not these pills.
Amen.
So I trusted in Him, not in the pills.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And started to praise Him. And to, you know, when you begin to praise, you begin to dig yourself out.
Yeah.
So many of us want miracles. Boom, 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 boom. You know, just like that. We live in this instant age, instant coffee, you know, instant takeaways, instant this. Stick it in the microwave and it's cooked and it's all ready and it's full of ease. Yeah, and what's it going to do to you? Oh, who knows? Get some fresh vegetables. Get some fresh meat. Get something fresh down you. Get the Word of God that's fresh.
Amen.
Grace makes homemade vegetable soups. Absolutely wonderful they are. Aren't they? Pauline does it. And they're absolutely wonderful. Oh, aye, that's right. Yes, yeah. I don't think I got any. I think everybody else got mine. See, I'm told I can have some any time. Absolutely gorgeous it is. A few weeks back, she gave me some tin soup when we were at work. This soup came out. I looked at it and thought, oh, it must be a new concoction she's made. Start adding to this, though. Gosh, this is... Well, you were there, weren't you? I said, what's this? Oh, it's some tin soup! You know, I mean, I've been spoiled now, haven't I? You know, I mean, when I'm living like a king and you're going to feed me tin stuff, you know. Well, it's the best. It's, you know, cross and black walls. Well, I'm cross and it's black. You know, it's like, oh, forget it. And it was awful. It takes no time to make it. And in the same way, we, as we begin to worship God, we're making something special. It's different. It has a special flavour. It has a special taste in the mouth and in the nostril of God. No. God don't like tin soup.
No.
He don't like the smell of tin soup. But homemade stuff. He goes, oh, I have got to go down there. You know, it's like, those juices are running. I've got to get down there. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
And he gets so excited because there's the praises ascending to heaven. The praises of God's people is like fresh incense, and it ascends into heaven, and it's a sweet smelling savour. And you know, when, as I said, when you cook something, I mean, Leon did some pasta, didn't you, on Bonfire Night? Wow. That was good. It was good. I mean, you know, you can tell I enjoy it. Well, I have to keep an eye on things. But Dharma gave us something the other day. Pardon?
Pondu.
I mean, I looked at it and I went, when we go home, I said, what's this? He says, oh, it's a root vegetable and rice from Dharma. Really? I mean, looking at it, I'm not being exaggerated, am I? You know, to look at it initially, you think, it looked like spinach. I don't like spinach. My name ain't Popeye. Okay? It ain't Popeye. And I looked at this and I thought, I was starving. We'd hardly eaten that day. So, you don't try it, you don't know what it tastes like. No matter what it looks like, close your eyes and dig in. Hey? This is okay. Well, there's some fish stock in there. Yes. Taste buds are kicking in, you see, and thought, oh, this is all right. But my, is it filling? It's, you know, but it was delicious. So, there's another one, you see. Glory to God. We can have a banquet. Even in natural foods, we can have a banquet. But in the same way, we can have a spiritual banquet in the presence of God. When you begin to praise Him and you begin to give Him thanks, and He begins to open the Word to us, begins to open it to our hearts, and we receive this banquet from God. I'm drifting, aren't I, really? But it's all about praise and worship. You see, praise affects every part of your life. It's not just, well, we come and do it in church on a Sunday and that's it, or on a Wednesday, if we come on a Wednesday. No, it's about a daily praising God. Every day. Some people say, oh, well, you know, you put your best clothes on for Sunday and you come and look smart. You know, it's God's day. Well, for me, every day is God's day. You know, God does not go on holiday on Monday through to Saturday. He's still on duty. He's still on the throne. The angels are still in action. And He's watching over me 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Even when I'm asleep, God is there. His presence is with us. Praise God. So it's not about Sunday. Every day is a day for God. Every moment is a moment for God. Every opportunity there is all for God. Here we have in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is not Sunday. This is a day. And they rose early in the morning. Verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat the king stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in His prophets and succeed." And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised Him in holy attire. And as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." Wow. Have you come dressed in holy attire today? That don't mean have you put your best clothes on. With them it did, in the sense that they came dressed to magnify and to worship God. They didn't come dressed up as soldiers. These people were not soldiers. These people were the singers, were the worshippers, were the ones who did spiritual service. And the king puts them out front. It's called cannon fodder. They don't carry shields, they don't carry swords, they don't carry spears, they just carry songbooks in their heart and they worship God. They wear the helmet of salvation and they're singing and praising God. They're cannon fodder. to the enemy who has arrows and spears to kill him. And God says to Jehoshaphat, put the singers out front. Maybe it was such a bad choir that the singing was so awful, God said, get them out front, we'll get rid of them all. Is that what he was doing?
No, he wasn't doing it. No.
Could think of some choirs you could put the singers out front. Yeah, let's get rid of them first. Yeah. But no. These were the people who worshipped God. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who came against Judah, and so they were routed. Wow. The moment they began to praise God, the moment they began to lift their voices and worship God in the face of the enemy, God set an ambush and these people were destroyed. God set about them.
Amen.
And verse 23 says, for the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another.
Amen.
Either singing was that bad, or it was a mighty miracle that suddenly these people turned against each other and began to destroy each other. You know, the enemy, Satan's kingdom, is a divided kingdom. Satan's kingdom is full of hatred, jealousy, malice, and greed. I'm telling you, when that sets a working, it will devour itself. And so you begin to praise and you begin to magnify God, and it looses them and they begin to destroy one another. And all the word of God says is in Ephesians 6, he says, and having done everything, hallelujah, praise God, I just worship you, Jesus, having done everything to stand, then stand. Don't tell you to fight. So many Christians are fighting. The word tells you to stand. Stand. Stand and trust God. Stand and worship Him. You're not strong enough to fight the devil. You just stand in front and worship God and let God do the fighting. Oh, I've been through it all. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirts, you know, I've kicked the devil out of here, kicked the devil out of there, done this and done that, you know, shouted this, that and all that. But you know, the only thing that keeps you is the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is what keeps you. You can have every bit of deliverance. You can have every bit of prayer you want. You can have hands laid on you till you're bald as Roy. Hallelujah. And when all of that is finished and done with, see, that's what you get. When you're finished having hands laid on you, if you are not in the Word of God, guess what? What's being kicked out, what's being prayed over you will not come to pass. Because you are not where in the Word where you should be. You're not spending time in His presence, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so every bit of prayer you get ain't a bit of use. You know, you might as well use it for wallpapering. It's no use. Do you hear what I'm saying, folks? Because when you're in the Word and the Word is in you, the Word is at work, and you can stand on the promises of God. You can stand on the promises of God, what God said to you. And you quote it back to God, and you quote the Word of God back, and you give thanks to God, and you worship God, and you praise God. Guess what? Those thoughts run from you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Do you know the devil has tried to get people to commit suicide? Do you know why? Because you are a danger.
Yeah.
Think about that for a moment. Some of you got it, if not all of you, at some stage, the devil has tried to get you to commit suicide. I know three or four people in this place right now.
Yes.
Do you know why? Because you're a danger to the kingdom of darkness. Because if you would grab hold of God, if you would grab hold of the Word of God and let the Word of God grab hold of you, you are a lethal weapon. You've heard of lethal weapon 2 and 3? Well, you're about lethal weapon 7. You are a lethal weapon against the enemy.
Amen.
The devil can't stand against you.
No
weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm only using what the Word of God says. That's what the Word... No weapon used can be used against you shall prosper. You have got to get hold of this. You've got to get into this Word and let this Word get into you. And you've got to start to let this Word rise up. And as it rises up, it will destroy the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How long have we been speaking for? 40 minutes, really. I've only got down 2 or 3 lines here. I've got another page on the other side yet. Got plenty of tapes, have we? Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. 1 Timothy says, chapter 2 and verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and without doubting, without malice, is another rendering. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, I would that you would, holy people, chosen ones of God, would come into the house of the God of God, and that you would pray, lifting up hands, without wrath and without malice, coming with nothing, coming with no agenda, but coming to God and coming to praise Him. And guess what? God will come in on the scene. God will break in. It's Psalm 100 when it says, enter His courts with thanksgiving in your hearts, enter His courts with praise. And as we read that and we realize that God wants you to come into His presence, wants you to come to magnify His name, wants you to come and praise Him. Exodus 17 and verse 11. This is how powerful the lifting up hands in the presence of God and in the worship of God is. This is about a battle that was going on in the valley. Moses was on the mountainside looking over. And the children of Israel were losing the battle. They were being pushed back. And in verse 11 of chapter 17, it says, so it came about when Moses held his hands up, that Israel prevailed. In other words, they were pushing forward. And when he let his hands down, the Amalekites prevailed. The enemy pushed them back. And Moses saw this, realized the power of worshipping and praising God. So he lifted up his hands and began to worship. And the battle went on and on through the day, on and through the evening time. The hands of Moses were heavy. So two of the elders came and took stones and put them underneath his hands, put a stone under him, and they just held his arms up there. Aaron and Hur supported him. And they stayed there until sunset. And verse 17 says, so Joshua overwhelmed the Amalekites and his people with the edge of the sword. You know, some of you, you're afraid to put your hands up. You wonder what people might think. Well, don't worry about it, you know. It'll be fine, don't worry. You've had a shower, I hope. If not, spray you as you come in and spray you when you go out. Hallelujah. It says lifting up holy hands, and as they lifted up holy hands, the enemy was being driven back. Yeah. And you know, you might come in feeling depressed, you might feel come in, you've had a battering week. The moment you begin to lift your hands up and to worship God, guess what? Things begin to change. He's a God of miracles today. He's the God of miracles. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. Jesus does not change. The circumstances change, but Jesus does not change. He changes circumstances. He's fixed. You know, people are looking for something that has got a fixed point in life. Something that is stable. People are looking for it. They look at investments and they think, I've got it, I've got it. Next thing, the banks go down. Now they're all advertising how good and great they are, these banks. I'm like, you have got to be kidding. Do you not remember what you did the last year or so, and etc.? And now you're the best thing since sliced bread. Come and join us. You got any money left? Come and give it to them, they say. Focus on the fixed things. That which is eternal. That which changeth not. That which is sure. That which is certain. That which has a purpose. He's the same yesterday. He's the one. He's the one. He's God the Father. Turn to Joshua chapter 10. I really need to rush on to get to some other scripture that I want to be in. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12. Here's another incident when Joshua is fighting a battle against the enemy and he wants to prevail over the enemy and to destroy them. Chapter 10 and verse 12, sorry. And Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel and said, in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still in Gibeon. Amen. And O moon, in the valley of Ajalon. Amen. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped. Amen. Until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Wow. Is he a God of miracles? Or is he a God of miracles? I'm told that scientists did some studies and they ran a computer program a few years ago and they found out there was a day missing. And they couldn't understand why. And then one of the scientists said, oh, I seem to remember something in Sunday school. And they went to the Word of God. That's where the missing day is. When Joshua said to the sun and to the moon, stand still. Till we see the glory of God. Now you say, oh, that can't happen. That can't happen. Well, that, I always believe the Word of God. Do any of you believe that you can stop it from raining? I've done it. I once had a project. Hated the thing like that, you know, but I had this project to do. 18 months of building this community centre. And when we came to doing the roofing project, it was like, well, if it rained, everybody went off site. Can't work in rain, can we? You know. And the forecast was for rain. You'd go down to the site and the guys would say, we'll be done before dinner time. Why is that? Oh, it's going to rain. I said, it's not going to rain until 4 o'clock. Why? How do you know? I said, because I prayed. I saw it start to rain through my kitchen window. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that rain and I bind it in the sky and it'll not be released over Doncaster until 4 o'clock. And they looked at me and laughed. Great, carry on and laugh. You're here till 4. They were there till 4. And it didn't just happen one day, because that week it was going to rain a number of days. And guess what? They never ever went home early. Yes! We got the roof on. Hallelujah. I pray for parking meters. You can't do that. Watch me. God, I need a parking space. I used to go into town when they had parking meters. So Lord, I just need 15 minutes on a parking meter. And I'd have some of these unsaved guys with me working on this scheme. And they'd look at me the first time and look at me and laugh. And I'd be driving up where I think Wilco's is still there. And I'd be heading towards Wilco's and I'd want a parking space just opposite Wilco's. Lord, I need a parking space just on that street. And I'm going down, and everyone, you can see him as you're travelling down the street, everyone's full. And they're going, there ain't one there. And then all of a sudden, a car pulls out just as I'm arriving. I say, thank you, Jesus. I'm just reversing to it. Praise God. Look at the parking meter. The lad says, it's got 15 minutes on parking meter as well. I said, yes, thank you, Jesus. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I didn't have much money in them days. So I needed 15 minutes on somebody else's money. I've even prayed, God, you know, I need some time on this meter. Turned up this, when I've got back to this meter's still stuck. 15 minutes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Keep that meter, Lord, for me. God is wonderful. You see, people think, oh, God can't be interested in the small things. Listen, the Word of God tells me He knows every hair that's on your head and on my head. Whoa, you know. I know when I combed it this morning, I looked at the pillow, there was one or two missing. When I washed it. Well, there you go. Yours is easier to count, Roy. Yours is easier to keep track of.
I got one in.
Some of us, with all this hair, he has a little more difficulty, you know, but... there you go. But God knows all about you. He knows from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And He's interested in everything that there is about you. This is my God. This is not a God who's about to beat you up. This is not about a God who seeks vengeance on you. This is about my loving Jesus. My loving Heavenly Father who sent His Son Jesus into this world to die for you. To die for me. And all we need to do is to ask Jesus to come into our hearts and into our lives. Make Him Lord of your life. And it changes you. And things begin to change around you. That's all you need to do. And guess what? God is calling out to people today. Every day God is reaching out for lives. To bring them into His kingdom. To bring them peace. To bring them joy. To bring them security. To bring them hope where there is no hope. To give them a future where there is no future. To give them a purpose where there is no purpose. To give them a goal where there is no goals. This is my Jesus. This is my God. Who's come to set captives free. He's come to heal the sick. To raise the dead. To cast out demons. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to get up and move forward. It's His church. And we need to move forward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not getting very far today, are we? Hallelujah. We're to praise God in every circumstance and every situation. You know, you when you walk into this place, bring with you an atmosphere. You bring some form of anointing. The world calls it an atmosphere. You can go into a house where man and wife have just had a fallout, and there's that old saying, you can cut the air with a knife. Heard it, haven't you? You've probably said it. Whoa, you can cut the air with a knife. Whoa, just keep your head down. Don't say anything. Just... And you know, nobody said anything. But you walk in and you know. Ooh. If you know that in the natural, think about the realms of the spirit. When you walk in through this door, what are you bringing? Are you bringing an attitude of praise and worship? Or are you bringing in depression? And don't get me wrong when I say this. I'm not saying when you're depressed that you don't come. But what I'm saying is that you begin to reach out. When you're sick, you know, you don't just focus on your sickness. Focus on God, because He's the healer. If you focus on your sickness will take you captivity. If you focus on God, God will set you free. The Word says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so all you've got to do is reach out. If you come when you're sad, begin to give Him thanks. What for? For your sadness? No. Just give thanks because He's God. And that God can lift you out of your sadness. And He can give you joy. He says He gives you joy for ashes. He gives you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, if you're heavy in spirit, God says, I've got a garment of praise for you. And He throws a garment of praise on you, and you just begin to praise God. And the spirit of heaviness has to flee from you. And all you're doing is you're standing and you're praising God. You're just doing what it says in Ephesians 6. And having done everything, praise God, stand. Stand. And worship Him. I just want to encourage you to praise and to magnify His name. Psalm 34 and verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Let's give Him praise. Let's shout His name. Let's declare the victory of Jesus. Let's declare the victory of God over circumstance and situations, and that when we focus on Him, God will sort out the problem. God will make a way where there is no way. You know, when the children of Israel were met by that sea, God made a way where there was no way. When they met the River Jordan that was in flood, God made a way where there is no way. And when we begin to realize God is bigger than every situation and circumstance we ever get ourselves into, He will make a way, because His eye is always on His people. And as I say, as long as we stay in this Word, God will bring us through. God will always bring us through. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. The Word encourages, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You sing to the Lord. You sing to the Lord and you just make melody in your heart. You just begin to praise God. I'm not going to let this thing get hold of me. I'm not going to let the circumstance at work control me. I'm not going to let that person dictate what I'm going to do. I'm going to rest in God. I'm going to see, you know, the government is in and the banks are in recession. They're all pleading poverty. Guess what? We're not. Heaven's not. God's not. Come on, live in the blessings of God. See, God is a supernatural God. As I said earlier, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches. You've got to get this into your heart. Get it into your mind that God is about to do great things. When the world, you know, when the world is down, God is still up. God will always make provision for His people. He kept His people through the wilderness for 40 years. Didn't have Tesco, didn't have Sainsbury's, didn't have Morrison's. But they always had food. Every day. And water. God was moving in their life for them and in their lives. And there was over 2 million of them. The shoes, the clothes didn't wear out. They had all they needed in God. God made a provision for them every day. Let's turn to Isaiah. This is where I really want to get to. I'm just starting a message now when we get to Isaiah. I know you didn't. Could hear it though. I'm just going to jump a little bit, and then I just want to finish off with this today for you. Praise His wonderful name. Isaiah 53. Glory to God. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is a prophetic word written some 600 years before Jesus was crucified on a cross. And it's talking about the Son of God. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Surely, verse 4, he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. He's taken your grief. He's taken your sorrows. There's no need to grieve. There's no need to be sorrowful. Because Jesus took it. And he replaced it with joy.
Amen.
And happiness. You don't have to grieve. He's taken it. You don't have to go through a grieving process all the time. God has come to set you free from grieving. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There's a healing process there for us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've all been wayward. We've all done things that we shouldn't have done. God never wanted us to do. God didn't desire us to do that. And we've kicked against the hand of God. And yet it says Jesus has died for the punishment that you should take and that I should take. He's died to set us free. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. You know, Jesus was beaten and bruised and lashed, and he opened not his mouth. He took all the pain, he took all the beatings, he took all the suffering, so that you and I don't have to suffer. We can start to praise God in this. Thank you, Jesus, that you've taken everything off me. You've given me freedom. You've given me joy. You've given me such possibilities. And there is so much potential in your life right now.
Amen.
Because of Jesus. Verse 9, it says, And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge shall be righteousness, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bared the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressions. I want you to just look at this last verse, this verse 12 there. Therefore, this is God speaking. Therefore, God says, I will divide to Jesus a portion with the great. This is God. Just listen. Therefore, God says, I will divide to my son Jesus a portion with the great. And Jesus shall divide the spoils with his strong people. With his strong people. Who are the strong people? Come on, the ones who have accepted Jesus and made Jesus Lord of their lives and are living in this day and generation that God has for us, these are the strong people. And God says, Jesus will divide the spoils with you and me. Come on, bring it on, Jesus. Bring it on, God. You know, when they went to battle, the enemy always had lots of possessions with them. And so when they went to battle and destroyed the enemy, hey, guess what? We got all the goods. And they collected all the spoils, the silver, the gold, and the garments, and all the things that were there in 3 days. And in 3 days, Jesus conquered the devil. Come on, folks. Come on, church. And in Isaiah 55, 53 and verse 12, God says, and Jesus will divide the spoils with the strong. Are you going to stay strong? Are you going to stay connected to Jesus? Are you going to be strong? Are you going to let the power of God flow through you and be strong? And guess what? Jesus is going to bring and divide the spoils with you. Because you stayed strong. He will only give the spoils to those who stay strong. Forget that it says chapter 54 and just carry on. We'll read verse 12 again. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and Jesus will divide the spoils with the strong church, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Sing, O barren, that thou didst not break forth into singing, and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. Thus saith the Lord. God is going to give you more than you've ever had. And it's not through your travail, it's not through your agony, the word's saying, but it is through, and I'm going to just read it from the Amplified, sing, O barren one, you who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who did not travail with child, for the spiritual children of the desolate one will be more than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Glory to God. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've got. God has still got more for you. There is still much more to be had. And the promises are in the Word. But it comes out of praise. It comes out of magnifying Him. It comes out of focusing on Him. Not upon your circumstances. Not upon your job. Not upon the fact that you haven't got a job. But upon Jesus. Because God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And so we can break forth into song. That's what the Word wants us to do. It wants us to break forth into spiritual song. It wants you to begin to sing the songs of Zion. And what I want to encourage you is that what you need to begin to do is you need to begin to wait on God and to just begin to sing a simple song. A song that God has given to you. A song that God has given to you. And you begin to worship Him. A simple song. So you can remember it and you can begin to focus on it and it begins to lift you. All these songs that we sing, the songs that have been given to people. God can give you a song. God can give you a song. But it's when you focus on Him and not on yourselves, not on your circumstances, but you focus on Him, you begin to get the song of the Lord. You begin to sing the song of the Lord. You begin to sing the songs of heaven and you begin to worship Him and you begin to give Him praise. Then, when you start to sing the song of the Lord, you'll begin to see the manifestation of the presence and the glory of God. And you'll hear heavenly beings singing with you. And you'll see the presence and the victory and the might of a mighty God.
Amen.
I want to encourage you. You need to reach out and begin to do that. I'm going to close there. I've not finished, but I'm closing at that. I just wanted to get to that point to encourage you to sing the song of the Lord.
Yeah.
To begin to wait on Him and to realize that God has got so much for you. And that don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at where you are now. Don't look at the disappointments. But look at the appointments in God.
Yeah.
Look at the purpose that you have in God.
Yeah.
Look that there is a future for you in Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
Amen.